Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Love to party, boys. Love to party. I tell you, somebody that ain't partying is them folks up in New York. They ain't happy with them Jets.
When I came out of the darkness.
Yeah, that guy right there is a big part of it. I tell you what, guys. Hell, you got to be under a rock if you ain't been paying attention to what's going on. Robert Saleh, the head coach of the New York Jets, just got fired after five games. The Jets are what, Ron? 2-3.
2-3. Playing for first place on Monday night.
Win this week, and you can be tied in the division. And have everything in front of you with, what, 11 games to go after that, I think? 11, 12 games to go after that?
Yeah.
Fascinating. Fascinating how Robert Saleh got fired. And, like, within minutes, the conversations that I've heard around Aaron Rodgers is... Maybe it's just 2024 and that's the media, but... I'm a little surprised at the negative conversations that are being had around Aaron Rodgers with this.
The sense of humor that the universe has.
I have literally heard, and of course it's sources, that Aaron Rodgers caught wind that Robert Saleh was going to fire Nathaniel Hackett, who is obviously his buddy, the offensive coordinator that he wanted. And so he called the owner and got the owner to fire Robert Saleh. I've heard this morning on a different note, and I like Chase Daniel. I like Chase Daniel, what he does in the media, but I mean, he so much as calls Aaron Rodgers and started explaining himself that Aaron Rodgers is a coach killer. And by the way, some of the facts that he threw out there were completely wrong, but nonetheless, just the thought that the Jets could fire a coach and Aaron Rodgers take the brunt of it is fascinating to me this time of the year.
Is it?
Absolutely.
I think it's like when it's like LeBron when like Darvin Ham gets fired and JJ Redick comes on. I think like many people think he has a level of control. I mean, I think Aaron has a. I personally, if you ask me, who. In terms of powerful people in the organization, and I think it's very much like the Lakers. I think it's Jenny Buss with the Lakers and then LeBron, and I think it's Woody Johnson and then Aaron.
It's that simple.
So I'm not going to sit here and – I don't think Aaron's a coach killer. I think – is this the first coach he's got? I guess Mike
got fired after a Super Bowl and 8 years later or something, and then didn't. I guess you know there's some obviously some conversation about how he didn't get along with Matt LaFleur and
yeah, I don't know if he's Green a Bay. Coach killer, but I think there is some level of involvement. To me, when Nathaniel Hackett stays on, that is kind of a red flag to me that. At the very least, Aaron has some involvement on it because if any person in there to be relieved of their duties even more than Robert Saleh, and I'm not saying Robert Saleh is a great coach, it would be Nathaniel Hackett. And it looks to me, and I think logically it looks to me that Nathaniel Hackett is still there because Aaron wants him there, and Robert Saleh is gone. I ain't gonna say it's because Aaron wants him to be gone, but the Nathaniel Hackett still being there is the part that I think makes Aaron really look like there's some sort of involvement in this.
Yeah, that's interesting. I just don't know. I mean, there's Nathaniel being there. That doesn't have anything to do with me personally. Doesn't have anything to do with the head coach who obviously it's been a dumpster fire since he took over before Aaron ever got there, and it's he's hired offensive coordinators that haven't worked. It's just been a mess. I mean, he's handled situations poorly. So I could understand where Robert Saleh, maybe not week five, like I could understand where he may have lost his job in the offseason last year or this year. But it's interesting week five, and I find it very fascinating that Aaron Rodgers seems to be the one that is catching the brunt of it. Given the scenario, given the circumstance, I find it interesting that Aaron Rodgers. But anyway, he went on with Pat McAfee this morning, and I think this is a great segment that he does with Pat McAfee. He said it back a day, went from Tuesday to Wednesday, I think out of respect probably for the situation that was going on in New York. But after watching the entire piece with McAfee, I feel even more strongly that Aaron Rodgers didn't have anything to do with it, with Saleh's firing. But here's Aaron Rodgers on the firing of Saleh and the thought around the sourced media world that he had anything to do with it.
We need as players to take accountability for what's happened. I think that's the thing that hits you too in the moment is, if I'd played better on Sunday, this doesn't happen. And as somebody who takes a lot of pride in their performance, that was the main sentiment for me yesterday. Obviously, heart going out to Robert because how much I respect him and care about him. And then the just disappointment of poor play that could have avoided a situation like we had. So I think it's a good perspective moment for all of us to reset mentally. As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it. And that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't. But I love Robert, and it was, you know, one of those days yesterday.
If you watch the entire thing on McAfee, boy, it's really, really difficult to get to a point because he went on about his family, went on about his kid, went on about – I mean, it seemed to be genuine and sincere. It's hard to think that Aaron would have anything to do with Robert Saleh not being there after week five of the season.
He's losing.
Who's that?
I'm just listening to that, and we've heard it a couple of times. You just said it, genuine. Like, he is giving me A-Rod vibes.
Hold on, Joe.
A-Rod, as in the baseball player,
yeah,
A-Rod?
I don't believe he's – like, when he said, I got love for Robert Saleh, I just don't believe it.
I mean, he went on for 5+ minutes about Robert Saleh's family, his son. Yeah, talked about his relationship, how close he is with his son, and asked people to take that into consideration off at school and things of that nature.
Aaron just does not feel genuine to me. Like, I just don't believe, like, his actions too. Like, I just don't believe what he's saying. Like,
Have you always felt that way about Aaron?
No, I don't think it's always been that way. I think towards the end of Green Bay, where he started to make a turn and started to kind of feel this way, because I just don't think he's had respect for Robert Saleh from the jump. He doesn't even come to camp.
No, I mean he missed a couple of days of camp.
He missed mandatory minicamp.
He was there, yeah, but he's there every other day throughout the offseason. All year last year when he was injured, he was on the sideline.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah, he bucks up against him. Like, he'll say stuff. Like, I just don't believe Aaron. Aaron sounds... it's real A-Rod vibes to me.
Well, y'all, everybody, you should go watch that Pat McAfee deal. It's interesting, and I guess you can see it through different lens. It seems like it seems I don't know the guy, but it seems like he is legit, sincere, and emotional about what's going on in New York.
I wonder if Robert feels the same way.
Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's the other part of it, boy. If it's not true and genuine, it is a brazen, like, unnecessary, just bold-faced lie, because it was, he brought all the kids and the wife and everybody into it and unprovoked. So, boy, if it's not genuine and sincere, that'd be a hell of a statement. Here's Adam Schefter, because Adam Schefter, who obviously has covered it all, he sheds a little different light on what may have happened with Robert Saleh, the head coach.
Look, I might be naive, but I thought Aaron came off as very believable. I really did. Like, Woody Johnson calling to check in on his ankle, that sounds plausible. Short conversation, sounds plausible. He's in the training room when he hears. I believe all that. Now, I believe also that this had been coming for a long time. There were conversations at the end of last season about whether or not they should make a change. They didn't make the change. And I still think that Christopher Johnson was the guy that made the call. He doesn't make the call without Woody's blessing, but Christopher Johnson hires him. And I don't know that Robert Saleh was ever Woody's guy. So you had that in the background the entire time. They had two bad back-to-back losses. The last one comes in England. And in my mind, that probably was the last straw. And he decided to make the change for something that had been on his mind, that he had thought about. And I would imagine that we'll hear more and more about this particular situation. There'll be more and more storylines that emerge. Oh, did you hear this happen? Did you hear that happen? But I don't believe that Aaron ordered that firing or was in on the firing or anything like that after listening to Aaron Rodgers.
The one thing to take from it as well, you brought up Nathaniel Hackett. It appears, they didn't make the announcement, but it appears that Nathaniel Hackett will no longer be calling plays, and the fella that was the Downing is his last name.
Would you say he was with Tennessee?
He was most recently with Tennessee.
But there's a connection with Aaron, because Aaron had him. There was a connection when Aaron got over to New York that he had worked with him before.
I would think that it's a similar system. I would think that they wouldn't ask a guy to run Nathaniel Hackett's system. So, I mean, that would – he in the piece with McAfee, he actually alluded to, look, we'd be crazy to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. So it led everybody to believe that Downing is going to be calling plays. So, to your point, Nathaniel Hackett, he clearly still has a job. I'm assuming coaching the quarterbacks, but it looks like the play calling responsibilities could be snatched from Nathaniel Hackett, which again would make perfect sense in this particular situation. And it sounded like Aaron agreed with that as well. I'm Clint Sterner. That's Ron Ugly. T. Mills behind the glass. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. Boys, did you see this this golf announcement? Have you seen it, Tyler?
Oh yeah. Pumped for it, actually.
Rory and Scottie versus Brooks and Bryson. So you got two LIV golfers versus two PGA guys. The faces of the PGA versus what you can say are the faces of LIV.
Let's get it on, baby.
It's going to be called the Showdown, and it's going to happen December the 17th at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas.
Am I tripping? Doesn't Brooks and Bryson, don't they?
That's the other part of this. The teammates. Yeah, those are the two guys that before they went to LIV, they would get into it, on the PGA tours. Like Bryson would just poke the bear pretty often. And then Scotty, I think, is a pretty low-key. I think everybody likes Scotty. Rory, the other part of this is Rory was the face of the PGA with all the
I feel like Rory's backed off of that a little bit.
Oh, no, ain't no doubt about that. I mean, hell, he didn't have no choice.
He wanted to get
the PGA ass. Backed off, and he was pissed off at the PGA. He said, y'all forced me to take this difficult stand, and then y'all backed y'all's ass down, and he's left in the middle. But nonetheless, Rory was still the guy that was questioning everything and everybody that was going over to LIV, which is Brooks and Bryson. So not only is this just tremendous golfers and a crazy good matchup, but there's so many storylines behind it. I don't know how many of those storylines have survived. I don't know how many people give a rip now about PGA Tour or LIV or vice versa. They've all played in majors together anyway.
We're going to Vegas.
They've all played extremely well except for Rory. Think about that. Three of these four golfers have played exceptionally well except for Rory.
Dude,
Rory
has been struggling so long since Rory McIlroy had a major.
Well, he just hasn't. He's been struggling since he blew that one major. What was it?
It was the one that was the last one he won like a decade ago. I think it was the British Open.
Was it the British? Yeah, because the PJs moved up.
Yeah.
On the last. Yeah, it was the British. The Open Championship. Since he blew that, he peed
that one away.
I usually don't care, guys, about like, especially golf. I mean, like, I watch golf as a whole and cool with it. I don't typically care, like, emotionally about golfers or players that I don't follow, like, really, really closely, which is really consists of the Texans and the Astros right now. I don't know why, but Rory's a guy to me. Like, I feel like he needs to win.
for his mental.
Like, I feel sorry
you
for
think
dude,
they,
man.
You think almost they should let him?
I mean, I feel sorry. The way the think about the last couple of years of his life. The way the PGA Tour set him up and then okie-doked him and bounced out of the deal and made him look like a fool, right? And then my man tries to leave his wife, and I don't know if he understood how much money he was about to give up in that divorce, and I think he eased on.
Oh, he wanted her. He wanted her. Not money. Girl, money is.
I hope he did. I hope he did. I think he's got a little girl in the mix. I hope he thought the better, but I mean he eased back into what a mess that situation was, and on top of that he can't win. He can't get this thing figured out. But nonetheless. I like Rory. I feel he moves me emotionally. Like I feel sorry for the dude that he hadn't won. Like I want him to win. Rory, big fan of Scotty. This is gonna be badass. The showdown, December the 17th at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. Y'all know what just happened to me in the bathroom? Tell me if y'all are comfortable.
Oh Lord.
Tell me if y'all are comfortable.
Everything went all right.
Oh, I'm comfortable. Oh, it went really well. There are so many ways this could go. What happened to you in the bathroom, Clint?
I mean, you know, I get over in that double wide. I get over in that double wide, right? In that stall.
Yeah, you got to get comfortable, and, spread out a bit.
Yeah, get comfortable, spread out a bit, get my britches all the way down the floor that Ron doesn't like, and really go to work. Well, I do my business in there, and I get up to walk out, and somebody's walking in, literally fist bump on the way to the same stall that I just left. Y'all comfortable with that? Y'all comfortable with the fist bump and the straight to the stall?
No.
Yeah, your manhood, your guy down below, you shouldn't be touching that with anything but the inside of your palm when the time comes.
No, but I think differently. I think you are a weirdo.
Why?
If you are going to come and fist pump me after I just came out the toilet stall.
I didn't initiate the fist bump. I didn't.
I
fist bumped coming out of the bathroom.
For me,
before.
You're weird. Like if I came out here, you don't know that you don't know which hand I used to wipe
may
my
went
ass.
Through the finger, like you through the toilet paper.
I don't care how close it got to it.
Right.
Because you hadn't made it to the sink.
He's looking at his hand like
you hand. You better wash.
I'm just saying
hands.
You hadn't made it to the.
No,
sink.
I hadn't made it.
No,
to
he
sink
hadn't
yet.
Made it to the sink. He just opened up the stall.
Like, yeah, it was person, at close quarters. To be clear, I thought of him first, and I put the elbow up. Instead
it's
of
fine.
First.
No, that's weird. That's weird.
No,
man.
Now if you offer like a full handshake, I might hesitate.
No,
and be like, hey, man,
any
like,
touching of your hands that you just wiped your ass with
a fist bump,
I'm out.
It's like a quarter of a second.
Yeah, I don't. I think you're overthinking it, Ron.
I'm very comfortable in my space. I'm very comfortable
bro.
With the. I'm not going to touch your hands after you just walked out of the stall
but it's not
and wiped
part
your
of
ass.
The hand.
I went elbow to the knuckle. Said, "Hey, I kept it warm for you, partner." He said, "All right."
I think I honest to God, and I'm in my
you
mind
like sitting down on a warm seat
to
or
figure
cold
out who it is. I think I would. I would
you know
say
who it is.
I'd say, "Hey, man, what are you doing? Let me get Let me wash these hands."
Holy mother of God.
I gave the elbow, let him know I kept it warm for him. He sat down and he said, good deal, baby.
Yeah, I don't know why you
like to sit on a warm lid or you like to sit on that when it's cool? Cold. You like to, does it bother you?
I'm versatile. Okay. Or what did CJ say earlier?
Versatility? He said
versatility.
Versatile.
Versatility.
Versatility. Speaking of CJ Stroud, I wonder is there something that Texans fans are tired of him doing? We'll discuss that on the other side.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. If you missed it earlier, you can check it on the podcast page. Earlier today, 2:40, D'Amico Ryans, he spoke and talked about Nico Collins, some of the other injuries, some good news, some bad news there.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
And CJ Stroud also spoke, and we had him right here around 3:40, so you can hear that. And coming up, a guy that was there, he was there for the press conference, there for the practice, and there's a lot to talk to him about. Our Texans report coming up with Brandon Scott as he joins us. So much.
A little 4:40 action?
A little 4:40. A lot of news. To hear the latest, what he's hearing about Nico Collins, what he's hearing about Kamari Lassiter.
Really, dog.
Who has a shoulder issue that potentially could hold him out. So a lot to get to with him. I want to play this because I said in the tease, I wonder, is this something that Texans fans are wishing CJ would chill on? This was him on McAfee. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but talking about the crowd size at NRG.
How's the crowd's been? Crowd's been insane?
Yeah, it's been cool. Last game was like a playoff game. It was pretty nice. And, you know, it's 12 o'clock games a little different in Houston is because, you know, there's a lot to do out here. So we really don't get nobody until like first quarter. But the people who come early, thank you. Appreciate it. But it's all love, though. Like, it's been loud, though. It's been really loud. Like, the Bears game was amazing. Felt like a playoff game. Last game felt like a playoff game. So, you know, it's up on the uprise.
Yeah, there's a lot to do down there in Houston. That's why what you're able to do as a rookie down there without being distracted is insane.
I'm just wondering, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, Tyler has been here as a fan for a long time. You too, Clint. Are y'all, because this I want to say this got to be four or five times that, and maybe even more,
at least,
that CJ has made some sort of a mention to the crowd. The crowd size, arrival time.
Are we going
to
get your flowers?
How loud it is. Like, I mean, he is.
Minimum is, five or six.
Easy. Are you tired of him talking about it?
I'm not, but I see the people Twitter sphere.
I had somebody, we talked about this briefly yesterday, and someone say, hey, I love CJ, but I sure wish he'd stop talking about the fans showing up.
God bless, brother.
Like, I just wondered, and I know, like, hey, CJ's a guy, but, like, are you like, all right, man, dude, shoot, we got it, dog.
No, I think he needs to quit soft shoeing it.
Strat House.
Oh, you think he needs to step into it, do it harder.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it, yeah, I mean, I think it should. Like that right there. Like, I don't know why you don't just challenge the fans.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
I mean, down here, I'll be honest, we'd like to do in the city, man. Everybody. We don't get many people in the first quarter, but we're trying to get them out there, man. We're trying, man. We're trying to play the best football, winning football. Try to get everybody to get there early and be loud from jump. You know, we're trying. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, obviously it's real.
Oh,
I mean,
yes,
it's not like
something, you think it's something they're talking about. Like, you think it's something they have conversations about, because he's done it the most. Tank has, I think, made mention to it this year.
I mean, we've heard the president, Greg Grissom, ask folks, hey, man, come on, y'all come on and get in this game early. I know the tailgating situation in Houston is tremendous, second to none, but come on in here and get in this building. Hell, we've heard Cal and Hannah say, get off y'all's ass and get in the game? I don't know if I've heard them, but I know I've heard Greg. I know I've heard.
I don't think we'll hear that from them.
Why not?
I think maybe some people, I don't know if they'll say it.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's reality. If it were petty and it wasn't the truth and it wasn't, you know, an issue, then I would prefer him not. But there's obviously some reality to it.
That big Nick energy.
Yeah, people are texting in. I don't blame CJ for that comment. Houston is a bunch of bandwagoners. When the team does great,
shut the hell up, man. Like, you don't have to. Why is it one extreme or the other?
When we aren't good, nobody pays attention.
Why can't it be that, we just got sports. A problem right now coming off all the crap we came off of, and we need to start getting back to what we used to do, getting in early for kickoff. It doesn't mean anyone's a bandwagon fan or wishy-washy with the Texans as a fan. Shut the hell up.
He's right. Everyone should get there early. Someone texted in, I agree with him, but he should not mention it as if it was like an away game.
Well, I mean, maybe if that touched you some kind of way, maybe you should get in the stadium a little earlier.
I don't know
an organization that, to the texture, I don't know an organization that loses and they don't feel that through ticket sales and merch sales and things of that nature. I don't know any fan base that spends more money when your organization is dysfunctional or your team sucks. I think that's pretty natural.
Shut up, Ronnie. He ain't say nothing wrong. It's Ron. I didn't say he did. I'm just asking you, are you
your ears.
Do you want him to stop saying it? Someone else, CJ is starting to give Russell Wilson vibes. Now, he's not corny. Just play the game, CJ.
Let's ride.
Someone just texted.
Is that a version of just pick up the ball and play, man?
Ron, it's been a long-standing issue with the Rockets and Texans fans just show up late.
Stuff didn't happen like this bad, though, until we know the storm that we went through.
I'm not saying it's never to some degree we can have a debate, but before all the Deshaun Watson drama, before that whole era, before we got to where we are now, it wasn't as big a problem as this.
No, I'm not here to, I wasn't here to say that or understand
right.
that. Yeah, so I'll take your word for it. And I know you've been talking about it, Clint. You're almost just flabbergasted by it. There's got to be something. Why? Like,
I know. I'm going to tell you. I know.
How are that many Buffalo fans in there? How many?
Well, for the first time in history, there were season tickets. It wasn't a sellout. Like, I think that created an opportunity, whether it's these ticket outlets type deal, the apps, or it were just individuals that would buy up tickets in order to resell them. I know several people with the Astros that own 15, 20 tickets. And the whole point is just to resell them throughout the year, make your money back, and then sell them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now that is, there's so many baseball games, typically they're selling to Astros fans. But I mean, like, you can't tell
if
me
that is
same
the case,
thing.
It's an awful lot of people been doing that for the last couple of years.
Well, yeah, I would imagine that's good business to be in.
Yeah.
Buy when the stock's down and then sell right now. Yeah, I would think it's pretty good money.
Yeah, you know me. I kind of cut loose before the home opener. I don't got a problem with it. I understand it, but I can understand that there are some people, like Tyler's saying, there's some people who have the thought process of like, all right, man, you've made your point the last six times.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, chill, because
he's really laying it on thick.
He's like it's not one that he walks away from. Nah, yeah, man, you know, we ain't going to get nobody until about the middle of the first quarter. Like, damn, man. Yeah, I remember I played in front of 100,000 people at Ohio State. But, boy, sure hope y'all come out.
They were in there for them 11 a.m. kickoff, weren't they?
Somebody said people go to church, people in church, like they ain't church in other cities. All right, coming up. Get a little Texans report. A lot going on. Our guy Brandon Scott's in the building. We'll talk to him coming up next.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Brandon Scott, Texans Report every Wednesday at 4:40. And there's a lot to get to today. A lot to get to today. I mean, hell, like my little list that I done made in terms of things that I wanted to talk to you about is damn near shot.
Wow.
Nico Collins was the big news of the day, him going on IR. But this news that's coming down here of late about Kamari Lassiter seems to be something that is more of the latest, and you've been at the facility, you were there at the press conferences, at practices. What are you hearing about Kamari Lassiter, and how serious would you say that there is a potential that he is missing, going to miss time?
Yeah, so injury? It's a shoulder injury, and he did not practice today. And you can kind of watch this story unfold over the last couple of days up until this point, to us speaking right now, where they bring back Kadar Holman, right? Bring him back from a practice squad, sign him to the roster. Then you go out there and you see that Kamari Lassiter is not practicing. Then D'Amico Ryans gets asked about the depth at that position and does not rule out or really kind of give you one way or another if Kamari Lassiter is available or not going to play. He wouldn't do that anyway, but he does speak to the depth of not just the position but the team. And then you get the report from Aaron Wilson saying that, you know, it's something that could keep him out. I think if you put it all together, there's a feeling that their depth at that position is going to be tested this week. Now, do I think it's too early to rule him out and say that Kamari Lassiter for sure is not going to play? We've seen this happen before. I've been on here before on a Wednesday where a guy didn't practice. Then at the last minute, they're available to play. And let's make note, this is a shoulder injury. It's not a lower extremity. It's not like it's a soft tissue thing, ankle, knee, that type of thing. So if it's an issue of pain tolerance, you might think that Kamari Lassiter could go, but there's no doubt that they're prepping, at least preparing, to not have him out there.
That's interesting, because in camp, you know, we're sitting in there, we're going, hey, man, the corner, really the cover defenders with the Houston Texans, they are deep. I mean, hell, they're as deep there as they are at wide receiver.
I never thought that.
You didn't think bringing in two top 10 picks and C.J. Henderson and Jeff Okuda?
Not by the end of it. I did in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's where I was going with it. That's right. My whole point where I was going was that there was a point where you've got a second round pick and Stingley and Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson, and then what was the dude?
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Ended up playing more light-skinned dude with the dread.
Mike Ford.
And he had played in the league before. And then you look at Ross. And then you look at Dez King and Jalen Petrie at the nickel defender. All these, you're going, man, the cover defenders, they're deep at this, at that corner position.
That flamed out, didn't it?
No question. I'm sitting there going, well, damn, they're going to have a hard time deciding who to cut. And here we sit week five, and we're going, Kamari Lassiter's injured. We're bringing Kadar Holman up off the practice squad.
Yeah, by the time we got through it, C.J. Henderson hadn't shown you much. Jeff Okuda had been injured for much of it. And a lot of that depth conversation that we're having, Clint, that you're talking about, the point that you're making, had to do with those guys being sort of the marquee's not the right word, but like central to that idea.
Yeah,
signing those
absolutely.
Two, plus investing the second-round pick on Kamari Lassiter. But between the two of those veterans that you signed that have been drafted highly, you didn't get much out of either of them. You cut one before you even get to the 53-man, and then the other one has to go on the IR and is eligible to come off the IR this week, and we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
We don't hear anything about him. So the depth of that position has been an issue for me ever since we got to toward the end of camp, or by the time we get to have a conversation.
When
you
realize Jeff is hurt, C.J. ain't doing much, and what are we going to do? What else are we going to do?
Or that Kamari Lassiter has won the job in a runaway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So all of that has been an issue, and I think that, again, to my point earlier, I think the depth of that position is going to be tested based off of this injury with Kamari Lassiter.
Who would they potentially go with if he's not able to go?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's the issue. You got Kadar Holman that you just signed. Kadar Holman's played for them before.
Yeah,
D'Angelo Ross is on the team. You've got
Chris Boyd
on the team. So, I mean, you got a bunch of different guys on the team. Are you going to tell me you feel great about, like I mentioned, Jeff Okuda can come back, but we haven't heard much about that. So it is a...
Well, if he ain't practicing today,
that's what I'm saying. It's a turnstile, and it's a big question mark
in terms
of depth outside of those top two guys, Stingley, Lassiter, opposite each other. If either one of them goes down, Stingley, of course, with the history, been healthy this year. Now Lassiter possibly not going to be around for you. That's an issue.
Brandon Scott joins us, Texans Report. He was out there today covering the Texans practice and talked to D'Amico and C.J. Stroud, amongst others. The Nico Collins story was the big story of the day. Out on IR, was going to miss at least four games with a hamstring issue. Now, we've seen with Damian Pierce, they didn't put him on IR, didn't put him on anything, and he had a hamstring thing, but he's missed 4 weeks. Oddly enough, he's back on the practice field. What did it mean to you and what you're hearing that they immediately placed him on IR? Does it make you feel like this is an injury that could be more than 4 weeks? What are you reading out of the timing of them putting him on?
Yeah, there's not enough to read past the 4 weeks. It just tells you like the significance of it that he's out. I mean, I'd even go back to the game, the fact that he goes out immediately right after that play. And we got a pretty quick report from the press box, right, about him being out for the game even then. So that's when I first got word. I'm not surprised that he's going to be, you know, on the injured list, that he is on the injured list and is going to miss at least four games. I don't have anything that says he's going to miss more than that. But obviously we know that the hamstring can be tricky. We've already now seen Damian Pierce miss, four games behind one. So, I mean, it's an issue, but I think it's kind of the opposite of what you have with the cornerback spot in Kamari Lassiter, whereas, hey, the depth of that position is going to be tested in a different way. We talked about them being deep in terms of the best weaponry or some of the best weaponry in all of football. Well, we'll get to test that theory between having Damian Pierce back as a plus, but you've been trying to get Tank Dell going for a while. Clint, we have all talked about this of, hey, let's get back to Tank Dell doing wide receiver things and not so much like he's a gadget player. He's
better this week.
He's Xavier Worthy or whatever it is. Like, let's let him be the Tank Dell of his rookie year. Well, they don't have any option now. Like, they're going to have to resort to that, and we'll see how it looks. I think that it's convenient that they get tested this way on the defensive side against a team that's trying to find itself offensively, and that they have the weapons to do it against a team whose strength is on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
So it is convenient for the Texans that this is where their weaknesses are this particular week.
Well, on the injury report, one thing that stuck out to me is you've got an offensive line that struggled in pass protection. You have an offensive line, let's say, you've been inconsistent in pass protection and once again struggling to run the football, and you got three of your starting five that don't practice today. What's your feel on those three guys? Kenyon Green, Titus Howard, Laremy Tunsil, no practice today. What's your feel on those guys in terms of being at least being available?
No, it's just a constant concern with the offensive line. Clint, we had a similar conversation last weekend. It ended up just being Titus Howard that couldn't play. But you go from an offensive line that's been mostly whole and healthy. I know Juice Scruggs missed a game there, but mostly whole and healthy and is underperformed, and now they're banged up on top of it. So to me, it's just like going backwards. It's going the wrong way. Like, they need to play better. But even if they play, now they're banged up and they're struggling. Yep. So to me, it's like just an uphill climb to me. Now, like, just not good news, even if they end up playing.
Well, you got
to. I think Tunsil will is the one that I do think will play for
Skeezy,
sure.
Skeezy, you got a situation right now where, I mean, you're having to practice at least one, if not 2 days a week with Broker at tight end. I mean, I'm sorry, at tackle, I'm sorry.
At tackle, yeah. Didn't they try that in preseason?
I mean, yeah, they tried. Yeah, they had to. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, you're probably going to have to play Fisher, and he's young and has a chance, but it's a struggle. And now you're looking at a situation where, hell, during the week, Broker's in the huddle with him. Am I saying that right? Broker?
Yeah. We went through Broker, Brocker, Breaker.
Brocker.
We went through everything. It could be Brocker.
Yeah.
But whatever, and no disrespect to him, but whatever, however you pronounce his name, the fact that we had to mention it is an issue.
However you know, pronounce his name.
You know, and I don't mean that in disrespect, but like that's where we're at. A guy whose name we're still at this point not sure how to pronounce should not be this influential in your game planning process. And to your point, just to put it simple, Clint, like, it is an offensive line. I think we can all agree. It is an offensive line that looks like it needs practice. Is it not? Is it not an offensive line that looks like it needs work?
That's what I've been saying for a year and a half now. I just don't see, unless you have like an injury that you just can't practice, like whatever's going on with Titus Howard, you can't play, you can't practice, I get that. But the veteran days off, the whole I'm sore, I need recovery, like, let's figure out this run game and then we'll take veteran days off.
No, well, and they might be sore, they might need recovery. Honestly, Clint, I don't know what the significance is of the injury. Like, Kenyon Green is somebody who I think needs practice in a year where, hey, he's trying to turn his career around. So, like, it's not like he's getting a veteran type of day. Like, they could, you're at the point in the season where they could legit be banged up. It's just not good news for the, I think, level that they're playing at. Like, I don't feel like they can afford to be this way, whether it's a diva mentality or, like, legit soreness and inability to practice. Like, whatever it is, it's a problem.
Look, how are we going to go? We still, Laremy got an ankle that's going on. That ankle that he tweaked when he was out non-contact in that not this game, but the game before.
Yeah, the Jacksonville
when
game.
When he pulled out there and in the flats and kind of tried to stop and turn and kind of rolled that ankle a little bit.
That's tough.
It's the same ankle we talking about?
Yeah, the same one. Same one. Yeah, that's the same ankle.
Before we get you out of here.
You just don't buy that injury, huh? That's one that should be keeping you out.
It's how quick can I have a little knick-knack injury so I can get these Wednesdays off moving forward?
Man, we 5 years into this, Clint.
Come on, man.
We're
a year and a half into not being able to run the football. All right. It's going to end up costing
speaking
you
of run the
football.
Just the program. Speaking of run the football, before we get you out of here, the running back situation. What are you hearing as we hear on Wednesday with Mixon and Damian Pierce?
Yeah, so I think Damian Pierce, I agree with y'all, like y'all's conversation about the oddity of Ogunba Wale getting the focus that he ended up getting. I think that was based off of him making some plays in that Jacksonville game that were pretty impressive. And he had some moments even in this game, but it was just odd because it feels like Cam Akers is the obvious best back on this team, not named Joe Mixon, even past Damian Pierce. If I had to tell you, I would say it's going to be the pecking order will be a Damian Pierce number one, and then Cam and Dari will kind of mix and match a little bit right behind him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you'll see all three of the backs this weekend.
We'll see if Joe Mixon is able to roll. We'll see. All right. Appreciate you every single Wednesday, 440, Brandon Scott, as he does the hard work out there at NRG, the Texans report.
Sprained my ankle at the game Sunday.
Business decisions, man.
You know what I did today?
What?
Got me a little jog walk in. Had a run from a German Shepherd.
Yep. You know what Laramie's going to do? He's going to play.
Should have took Wednesday off.
I don't know why you didn't.
Coming up, we'll get you ready for tomorrow, and not just tomorrow, tomorrow with us of The Drive. The Drive is live, a little thirsty Thursday. We'll get you ready for that. And we'll give you the full injury report because it is long, long. We didn't have enough to talk about all the important things and catch you up on what's going on around sports, including the MLB playoffs, as one game has just ended. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.